Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
Thank you. be a master builder.
As we begin today, would you help me say thank you to two groups of people? We've had lots of folks working hard during this series, but did you just like the band and the media team, what they just put together? How about that? Pretty amazing. I'm glad I go to church with cool people. It's amazing. I love it. Today, we are continuing our series. This is our third Sunday of At the Movies. 2 weeks ago, we started with Rudy. And anybody enjoy that? Was that a great Sunday, everybody? Apparently that's not helping Notre Dame out much, but you know, we'll leave that between Rudy and those guys. Last Sunday was Finding Nemo, and our elementary kids joined us here in the service for A Tale from Under the Sea. What a great day that was, and so we're looking forward to that. Today is Captain America, Civil War, and then we're going to end the series with a Tom Hanks movie, Captain Phillips, and we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. What do you do when the enemy attacks you, and how to win when that happens? So I encourage you to join us next Sunday as well. Now, today's movie is about conflict, and to illustrate about conflict, we're going to use several scenes from the movie that are a bit intense, and so if you have young children here in the room, you're going to have a few minutes to take them to the Kids of Grace service upstairs. Pastor Ryan and Amber are doing their own kid version of At the Movies. Matter of fact, today the movie is The Incredibles, and I heard a rumor that after the service, Mr. and Mr. Incredible will be out there with Captain America and Iron Man for pictures, and so you'll have a few minutes to get them there if you'd like to take advantage of that. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, what are you going to do at the movies? I'm glad you asked, because 2 weeks from today, we're going to start a new message series called Follow. And it's going to be a series because over the last few weeks, we've had lots of people join us for church that haven't been to church ever or for the first time in a long time. And the good news is, over the last two Sundays, at least 75 people have marked that box on the connection card saying they gave their lives to Christ or they recommitted their hearts to the Lord. Would you give God praise for that? Isn't that great? And so we're going to do a few weeks in October, and we're just going to talk about what it means to follow Jesus and what that looks like, because we don't want you to start a relationship with God and then just stop or fall away. We want you to make it all the way to the end. And so we're all going to do this series called Follow, and we're going to start with water baptism on October 9th, which more than 20 of you already marked that box on the connection card. So we're looking forward to people being baptized on October 9th. Then after that, in November, we're going to do a series called Q&A. Now, what's Q&A? We want to answer the questions that people have about God, about the Bible, about family, about the future, anything. Whatever questions you have, and you're saying, boy, I wish the church would address this. Well, on the back of your connection card, there's a place for you to write a question. I'd like you to address XYZ. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the most popular questions, three or four of those questions, and then in November, we're going to address from the Bible what the Bible says about those particular things. So before you turn your connection card in today, write down the question you'd like to see us address, because we want to address the questions that people have in our culture, because we believe that the Bible has the answers. Anybody here say amen? And so that's a good idea. Now, in the current series that we're doing, we're using modern-day stories or movies to help illustrate spiritual truths, a lot like Jesus did in the New Testament. He told stories about trees and lost coins and lost sheep and lost sons, and he was illustrating spiritual truths. And we're doing something similar to that, except we're using modern-day stories, movies, to help us illustrate spiritual truths. And so today's movie is Captain America, Civil War. Now, this is, I counted on the website, this is the 13th Marvel Comics movie in the recent years. Now, how many know that's a lot of money?
they are making billions of dollars off of these movies and the Avengers series. Now, the two main characters in this movie is Iron Man and Captain America, and of course they're joined in this movie by Spider-Man, other superheroes like, you know, Hawkeye, the Black Widow, and more superheroes. But this particular movie is called Civil War because it tells the story of how these superheroes end up fighting each other instead of the bad guys, how they end up on opposite sides. And one of the biggest scenes in the movie is the scene where they all fight each other at an airport. Watch this.
What do we do, Cap?
We fight.
This is gonna end well.
They're not stopping.
Neither are we.
I didn't kill your father.
Then why did you run?
That thing does not obey the laws of physics at all.
Look, kid, there's a lot going on here that you don't understand.
Stark says you'd say that.
You're wrong, you think you're right, it makes you dangerous.
Guess he had a point.
You got heart, kid. Where you from?
Queens.
Brooklyn.
We gotta go. That guy's probably in Siberia by now.
We gotta draw out the flames. I'll take Vision, you get to the jet.
No, you get to the jet.
Both of you.
The rest of us aren't getting out of here.
As much as I hate to admit it,
if we're gonna win this one, some of us might have to lose it.
Now, I know every guy here is really disappointed we chose this movie instead of Pride and Prejudice. We'll have to take that for suggestions for next year, maybe. I don't know. But all of these people are on the same team. They're all Avengers, but why are they fighting each other? What caused this conflict? That's the issue we want to address today, is conflict. Why do people who love each other fight? I heard a pastor, wasn't me, who told this joke. I'm just repeating what he said. He said marriage is like a deck of cards. He goes, it starts out with two hearts and a diamond, but by the end, you wish you had a club and a spade. It's not my story. I didn't say it. So why do we have conflict at home or at work or with our neighbors or at school? What causes it? And more importantly, how do we resolve it? Those are the questions we're going to address here today. So let's start with what causes conflict? Why does it happen? Well, there's a few reasons that we can help you out with. I think the first one is poor communication. Now, a lot of conflicts start out really small, but we make them bigger because we open our mouth and say stupid stuff, right? And so we have gotten, as a culture, we have gotten very loose with our words. And we just say whatever comes to mind. Can I go ahead and tell you that not everything that comes to your mind during a conflict should be said? Well, Pastor, I have the gift of speaking my mind. Let me tell you what to do with that gift. Take it outside, dig a hole, and bury it. You need to lose that gift. I heard about one, and then another guy, you know, just saying stupid stuff. He said to his wife, he says, I can't believe you can be so beautiful and so stupid at the same time. So she said, let me explain it to you. God made me beautiful so you would be attracted to me. God made me stupid so I would be attracted to you. Guys, you're not prepared for this kind of fight. I'm just saying. Now, here's a verse that's a powerful prayer when it comes to communication. Psalm 141, verse 3. Would you say it out loud with me? Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let me know that's a powerful prayer to pray. So instead of just saying it, let's pray it this time. Dear God, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So another cause of conflict is unfulfilled expectations. We have an expectation of what we want or what we deserve, and then it doesn't happen and we get upset. You know, I deserve a highway free of cars, but between here and work. But there's all kinds of cars everywhere, and so now I'm mad. I deserve when I get home from work to have peace and quiet, but my neighbor's dog is barking, so now I'm mad. We don't get what we want, we don't get what we think we deserve, and that creates conflict. Another reason we have conflict is our sin nature. The Bible says there's something going on in the inside of us. As a matter of fact, in Romans, the scripture says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. What that means is, every one of us has a dark side, to use a Star Wars analogy since we're talking about out the movies. There is something sinful on each of us. We're all born with this sin nature that creates conflict. Now, the good news, God's cure for sin and God's cure for conflict is the cross of Jesus. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. Here's another one. Despising differences. Our differences create conflict, don't they? Now, when two people first fall in love, their differences are just, I mean, that's what attracts you to that person, all right? And they say things like, you complete me. But if you're not careful over time, if you don't protect your heart, those differences that you once celebrated can now become an irritation to you if you're not careful. You're hot, she's cold. You wanna spend, she wants to save. You wanna spank, she wants to give grace. You know, that happens with a lot of married folks. And listen, it's almost as if God created marriage to set up inevitable conflict. And some of you are going, I'm getting you, Pastor. I'm feeling you, right? But listen, this is why marriage is under attack in our culture. Because God created marriage to show us how to be like Jesus. And what did Jesus do for his bride? He died for his bride. Marriage is an opportunity for us to learn how to be like Jesus. Good preaching, Pastor Wayne. Amen. Okay, here's another thing that causes conflict, unresolved issues. Things in our past, hurt, pain. That's why we have Celebrate Recovery on Friday nights. People dealing with hurts and habits and hangups in their lives, learning how to resolve those. Because if we don't resolve our differences, most of the time, those unresolved conflicts bring conflict in our current lives. And so this is particularly illustrated in this scene we're about to show you with Iron Man. Tony Stark is conflicted as an adult because of what happened to his parents. They died when he was young. And so Tony, being super smart the way he is, he creates this incredible ability to recreate the past, or at least a picture of it, a picture of how he would like for it to be. And so what we're going to see here in this scene is a recreation of a conversation he had with his parents on the night they died and how he wished it would have gone. Watch this.
The kind of September when wake up, dear, and say goodbye to your father.
Who's the homeless person on the couch?
This is why I love coming home for Christmas, right before you leave town.
Be nice, dear. He's been studying abroad.
Really? Which broad? What's her name?
Candace.
Do me a favor. Try not to burn the house down before Monday.
Okay, so it's Monday. That is good to know. I will plan my toga party accordingly. Where are you going?
Your father's flying us to the Bahamas for a little getaway.
We might have to make a quick stop.
At the Pentagon, right? Don't worry, you're gonna love the holiday menu at the commissary.
You know, they say sarcasm is a metric for potential. If that's true, you'll be a great man someday. I'll get the bags.
He does miss you when you're not here. And frankly, you're going to miss us. Because this is the last time we're all going to be together. You know what's about to happen. Say something. If you don't, you'll regret it.
I love you, Dan. And I know you did the best you could. That's how I wish it happened. Binarily augmented retroframing, or BARF, gotta work on that acronym, an extremely costly method of hijacking the hippocampus to clear traumatic memories. It doesn't change the fact that they never made it to the airport, or all the things I did to avoid processing my grief. Plus $611 million for my little therapeutic experiment. No one in their right mind would have ever funded it.
Don't we all wish we could change something about the past? The truth is, we can't change the past. But there is good news. You can change the future by how you respond to the past, by how you deal with what's going on inside of you. Now, if there's one big idea I'd like to leave with everybody, if you write it down, you know, memorize it, think about it, this is the deal. This is what I want you to hear today. You will never be able to resolve external conflict until you first resolve the conflict inside yourself. I want you to think about that. You will never be able to resolve external conflict until you first resolve the conflict going on inside yourself. Now, we see this throughout this entire movie. Every one of these superheroes are conflicted in their hearts. Something's going on. Some of them are dealing with past regrets, loss of loved ones, broken relationship, unforgiveness. Captain America is dealing with his friend and all of the atrocities that he has committed. The Black Widow is dealing with memories of abuse as a child. The Black Panther is dealing with the loss of his father. And they're all dealing with the guilt that they experience because of the loss of innocent lives in their endeavors to save the world. They all have internal conflict that leads to external conflict. And that conflict ultimately becomes about each other. And isn't it the same with us? We think in order to solve a conflict, everyone around us need to change. You know, if they'll just change, if my neighbor would change, if my classmate would change, if my boss would change, if my employees would change, you know, everything's going to be okay. But listen, you could be surrounded by perfect people, but if you haven't dealt with the issues going on in your own heart, there will always be conflict of some kind. That's why we fight about stupid stuff. Like this couple.
Hey, honey. I saw a great deal on a new set of golf clubs today, and I was thinking about buying them.
Okay. Yeah, new golf clubs. You really need those. Oh, I know. There's this little space in the garage right between your motorcycle and the other sports equipment that you don't use. We can put them there.
Oh, come on now. No, really. All my friends are buying new clubs this year.
Michael, you know what? I was kind of hoping to get a new dining table and chairs for the family. I saw a great set at Ashley Furniture the other day.
What's wrong with the old set?
Just that. It's old. But you know what? You just go ahead. You get your clubs. You always get what you want anyways.
Here we go again. First I tell you that you get your hair done every 6 weeks. Then you remind me that I bought a new bowling ball or something.
It's every 8 weeks.
Every 8 weeks?
Yeah, not every six. Every eight.
You know, I tell you about your manicure and your pedicure. That's at least every 2 weeks.
Okay, what about your lawnmower and your remote control toys and that camera quad thingy you just had to have that you just crashed, I might add?
Starbucks!
Gym membership!
Okay, here we go.
Oh, you know, none of this even matters right now. Brittany needs a new computer.
Brittany, computer? Your daughter needs a job.
That's right, my daughter, not yours, and you never let me forget it, do you?
This isn't about any of that anyway. It's about money. Money, money. Always money. Speaking of which, if we didn't have to send your mother a check every month, we might have some.
Why, Michael? Why? Why does it always have to be like this?
You know, nobody can hurt us like the people closest to us. And that's why conflict can really be painful. It can hurt. But we want to blame others for it. It's their fault. They did this, or they didn't do this. But if we're honest, the issue may not be with them. It might be with us. It's not about the money, or the golf clubs, or the in-laws. If there's conflict in your life, could it be an indicator that something is going on the inside of you? If so, how do we deal with that? How do we address it? Let me show you a few ways that we deal with conflict. One of the ways that people deal with conflict is my way, right? You know, I'm the man. I'm the leader. Submit. You know, it's got to be my way or the highway. Some people do it. They do my way by controlling everything with anger. I heard somebody say that a lot of relationships have turtles and skunks. Skunks are stinking up everything, and turtles are clamming up everything. But how many know my way is not the way to deal with conflict? Some people say, well, there's your way, which means, you know, I'm going to agree with everything. I'm just going to say, okay, I'm just going to clam up, you know, for the sake of peace. And that might buy you short-term peace, but in the end, it's going to make you miserable. It's going to lead to problems. And then a lot of people say, well, you know, Pastor, it's halfway. You know, we'll go halfway. That's how you deal with conflict. You know, I'll get my way this time, and then you get your way next time, and 50% of the time we'll get our way. Well, then you're only mad 50% of the time. Okay, that doesn't work really well. But God has a way of dealing with conflict. What's God's way? Well, God's way is I first go to Him and let Him do a work inside me. And after He does a work inside my heart, it has a dramatic effect on the people around me. Because listen, you can't change the circumstances around you until you let God change what's going on within you. This next scene I'm about to show you illustrates the wrong way to deal with conflict and hurt. Watch this.
That was nice what you did for those young people.
Ah, they deserve it. Plus, it helps ease my conscience.
They say there's a correlation between generosity and guilt. But you've got the money. Break as many eggs as you like. Right?
Are you bone up?
I'm right where I want to be.
Okay, hey. Sorry, it's occupational hazard.
I work for the State Department. Human Resources. I know it's boring. But it enabled me to raise a son. I'm very proud of what he grew up to be. His name was Charlie Spencer. You murdered him. in Sokovia. Not that that matters in the least to you. You think you fight for us? You just fight for yourself. Who's going to avenge my son, Stark? He's dead, and I blame you.
Vengeance or revenge is the theme of the movie. It's the theme of the series, actually. After all, they're called the Avengers. I asked Siri, what does Avenger mean or avenge? And here's what Siri said. To take revenge for a perceived wrong. And that's what our sin nature wants to do. An eye for an eye. You hurt me, I hurt you. You hate me, I hate you. One of the reasons these movies are so popular, I believe, is because it appeals to that part of us that wants to get back at people. Revenge, taking vengeance on perceived wrongs. The problem with that is it just creates more conflict, which means more movies, I guess, and more money. That's why the Bible has a different idea when it comes to revenge. Look at what the scripture says in Romans 12, verse 19. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. How many know that's completely opposite of what our culture says, of what our world says? But this is a good time to remind you that God's way of doing things is not the world's way of doing things. Many times it's opposite. But God's way is the best way because he's smarter than us, amen? And if we'll do it God's way, it will work out better for us. But if we don't, and we ignore God's way and God's word and God's commands, it's not going to work out for us. Now back to the movie. The Secretary of State comes to the Avengers, and because of their mistakes and the loss of life that have happened because of their past endeavors, he is now informing them that all of these nations have come together and that all of the Avengers need to come under the authority of the United Nations. But each of the Avengers has a different opinion about that.
Secretary Ross has a Congressional Medal of Honor, which is one more than you have.
So let's say we agree to this thing. How long is it going to be before they lowjack us like a bunch of common criminals?
117 countries want to sign this. 117, Sam, and you're just like, no, it's cool. We got
How
it.
Long are you going to play both sides?
I have an equation.
Oh, now this will clear it up.
In the 8 years since Mr. Stark announced himself as Iron Man, the number of known enhanced persons has grown exponentially. And during the same period, the number of potentially world-ending events has risen at a commensurate rate.
He's saying it's our fault.
I'm saying there may be a causality. Our very strength invites challenge. Challenge incites conflict. And conflict breeds catastrophe.
When it comes to conflict, everybody has their own opinion. Vision thinks that conflict causes problems. Tony says, you know, he's got guilt about the past, so he says, due to that, we need to stand down. Captain America doesn't trust anybody. He's got a few issues, too. He says, we're not going to be accountable to anybody. And so everybody has their own opinion. People start to choose sides. All the Avengers choose sides, and the Civil War is on. What's going on? Well, the Bible describes exactly what's going on in a scene like that. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 1, God says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? What's the reason we fight? What's the source of our quarrels and fights? Don't they come from the evil desires at war where? Within you. Another translation says, it comes from your selfishness on the inside of you. And you know, I want what I want, you want what you want, and so now we're in a conflict. Proverbs says, pride leads to conflict. Pride leads to conflict. Now, both of these verses explain that it's what's going on in the inside of us that is causing the conflict on the outside of us. The source of the conflict is internal, not external. And you're never going to solve the external until you address what's going on the inside. You see, we have conflict about a lot of different things. You know, about time, about money, about traveling, about the neighbor's dog, about our classmates, about so many different things. My boss, my employees, all of those things. But the problem is, why are we all fighting? It may not be what we think it is. It may be what's going on inside. Because what's going on inside of you is always going to come out when there's a conflict. The internal will always expose the external, and the external will always expose the internal. What I mean is, when you get in a fight, you're going to find out real quickly how godly or ungodly you are. Isn't that right? You know, nothing is going to bring out what's on the inside of us more than when we get in conflict with folks. Now, my wife knows exactly if we ever have an issue or a conflict. Can I tell you, my wife knows more than anybody else right then and there how close I've been with Jesus. If I'm on my face, you know, before the Lord, and I'm praying, and I'm in the scripture, and I'm studied, and I'm closer to God, she's going to know right then if I've been with the Lord or if I'm kind of neglecting my time with God, because it's going to come out. You guys agree? Listen, if there's conflict in your life, it could be an indicator that something is going on the inside of you. Now, the final fight scene in this movie is the most dramatic one because it involves two friends, Captain America and Iron Man. Turns out the villain in this movie wasn't trying to take over the world or destroy the world. He was trying to destroy them. Isn't that a good reminder that the enemy of our souls, the Bible says in John 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Nobody likes conflict more than the devil. And he wants us to be convinced that our neighbor is our enemy, that our teacher is our enemy, that our parents are our enemy, that somebody else is our enemy. There is only one enemy that we all have in common, and that is the enemy himself, the devil. Are you getting this? And so he tries his hardest to create division and separation. And so what he does is he shows Tony a video of what happened in the past when his parents died. And it comes out that Captain America knew about what had happened and had been keeping it a secret for years. So the rage and the anger and the betrayal just boils over. Because when the past is unresolved, when there's unforgiveness, when there's so much pride and so much inner turmoil, you have the ultimate conflict.
Must kill the wrong man.
Hardly an innocent one.
This is all he wanted. To see them rip each other apart.
My father lived outside the city. I thought we would be safe there. My son was excited. He could see the Iron Man from the car window. I told my wife, don't worry. They're fighting in the city. We're miles from harm. When the dust cleared and the screaming stopped, it took me 2 days
until I found that body. And my father, still holding my wife and son in his arms. And the Avengers, they went home. I knew I couldn't kill them. More powerful men than me have tried. But if I could get them to kill each other, I'm sorry about your father. He seemed a good man. With a dutiful son.
Vengeance has consumed you. It's consuming them. I'm done letting it consume me.
You can't beat him hand to hand.
Analyze his fight pattern.
Scanning. Countermeasures ready.
He's my friend.
So was I.
Stay down. Final warning.
I could do this all day.
You might be here today and you're feeling the pain of conflict with somebody at work, at school, at home. I've got some good news. The pain of conflict always leads to a crisis point. And when we have conflict, that crisis point that comes is an opportunity for us to change something, to do something different. Now, when conflict comes, we could do what a lot of people do and just blame everybody else and focus on everybody else's issues instead of ours. But it's time for us to be honest and say, is there anything going on the inside of me? Some have gone from relationship to relationship to relationship. The names of the people change, but the problems stay the same. Conflict just follows you. Perhaps it's not them. Maybe God needs to do a work inside of you. Some may have gone from church to church to church. And wherever you go, there's criticism, there's complaining. Can I just go ahead and tell you? It's probably not the church that's the issue. It's probably what's going on in the inside of us. Here's the good news. This is the best part of the whole message. And it's this. The solution for all conflict is the cross of Jesus. It's the solution for all conflict. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his son. Why? He sent his son to die. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. What happened at the cross is Jesus died. But listen. He didn't just die, he suffered. The Bible says he had a crown of thorns placed on his head. He was whipped mercilessly. He suffered before he died. You know, if Jesus had to die for sin, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, then why not lethal injection or something fast like that? Why did he have to suffer? Can I tell you why? Because the cross is a picture of the ultimate conflict between God and man. Holiness and sin. The justice of God and the evil, the darkness that lurks in our hearts. Jesus did more than just die. He suffered for conflict. See, Pastor, what are you talking about? Paul explains it in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 10. He says, while we were God's enemies. Now, let me stop right there. God's enemies? What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that because of sin in our hearts, we're separated from God. And we are his enemy. I bet some of you didn't know that. Pastor, I thought we're all God's children. I thought we're all... No. You need to stop listening to everybody else and open the Bible and find out exactly what it says. The Bible says because of sin, we are in conflict with God. And that's a problem. Because you're no match for God. You're going to lose. That's why the wages of sin is death. But Paul goes on to say, this is good news, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Say it with me. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's awesome. You see, this cross is clean. This cross is smooth. Boy, but if you thought that last scene was violent, you have no idea how violent this cross was. Why? Because God healed the ultimate conflict in our hearts toward him. I love what somebody said this week. I put it on my Facebook page. The gospel is the only story where the hero dies for the villain. How amazing is that? Here's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love the story of Jesus. Here it is in just a few sentences. It's good news, isn't it? That the just and gracious creator of the universe has looked upon hopelessly sinful men and women, that's us, enemies of God, helpless, and has sent his son Jesus, God in the flesh, to bear his wrath. That's what happened at the cross. God poured his wrath, this conflict on sin, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection. So that everyone, now that's good news too, because everyone is everybody. Everyone is everybody. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It's everyone. Pastor, you don't know where I've been. It's still everyone. Pastor, you don't know how many people I've hurt, how many people have hurt me. Everybody. So that everyone who turns from their sin and themselves and trusts in Jesus as Savior and Lord will be reconciled to God. How long? I love that. Forever. See, what happened at the cross is Jesus reached out to his enemies, you and me, to save us, to reconcile us to God. Because God does not want to be your enemy. You chose to be his enemy. It all started with Lucifer in heaven, didn't it? He said, I'm going to have my way. I'm going to ascend and be like God. And then it continued in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve said, you know, we don't believe God. We don't trust God. We're going to trust ourselves. The Bible calls that sin. And that puts us in conflict with God. And we're still doing it today. And the wages of that sin is death. But while we were God's enemies, God sent his son, Jesus, to reconcile us. Isn't that what you want in conflict? Is reconciliation. To reconcile us to God. And listen, to have peace with God. You know what God is offering you here today? Peace with him. See, you're never going to change the conflict in your life until you have peace with God. There's always going to be conflict between you and other people until you have peace with God. And that's what the cross gives us. If you'll embrace the cross, if you'll follow Jesus, if you'll trust Christ to save you, if you'll turn from the life that you've been living and begin to follow the way of the cross, can I tell you what you're going to find? Is peace with God. The Bible says it passes all understanding. That's good news, amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room here this morning? I'm going to ask that no one be leaving and no one be moving around. Please don't, please try to just not make any noise at all, because I believe God's going to do a work here today in people's lives. You know, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. And when I say three, I'd like every person to raise their hand who says, Pastor, I want peace with God. I don't want to be God's enemy. I don't want to be in conflict with God. I want to trust Christ to save me. I'm ready. I recognize I'm making a mess of the life I live. And I recognize the issue is me. The issue is my heart. I need a relationship with God, perhaps for the very first time, or for the first time in a long time. When I say three, I want you to put your hand up, because I want to pray for you right where you're seated. I want to pray that you'll have peace with God. Are you ready? One. The Spirit of the Lord is here. You already know if He's talking to you, because if He's talking to you, you need to obey Him, because He doesn't want you to be in conflict with God or anybody else anymore. He wants you to have peace with God. Listen to His voice. Two. You don't want to be an enemy with God. You're always going to be fighting against Him, and you're going to lose. He doesn't want you to be His enemy. He wants you for His family. If you say, I'm ready to have peace with God today, I want you to raise your hand when I say three. You ready? One, two, three. Put it up. Yes, keep raising them. Raise them all over this room. All over this room. Thank you, thank you, thank you for people raising their hands. On the floor, in the stadium, God bless you. I see those hands. Many, many hands are raised. God bless you. Keep raising them. Come on, keep raising them. I want peace with God, Pastor. I'm ready to embrace the cross. I need salvation. I'm ready to trust Jesus to save me. Hands are up all over this room. Praise God. Praise God for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've got your hand raised. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that would like to join them and encourage them in this prayer, you mean business with God. You're not playing a game. You're ready to trust Jesus to save you. You believe the gospel of Jesus, and you're ready to act on it here today. Pray this prayer. Everybody's going to pray with you, but those that raise your hand, I want you to pray it just a little bit louder than the person next to you. Would you say it this way? Dear God, thank you for bringing me to church today. I've heard your voice, and I agree with you. I'm a sinner. I have broken your laws. And that makes me your enemy. I don't want that. I want to be part of your family. So today, I choose Jesus Christ. I believe He died on the cross for what I have done. I believe He rose from the grave to save me from myself. I put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me, and confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power to serve Jesus every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God praise for the good things that God is doing in the house of God today. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hey, don't patty cake for that. That's pretty awesome. Lots and lots of hands. People praying to receive Jesus. It's the best thing. It's the best thing that can ever happen to you. It's following Jesus. I believe everybody that raised your hand just now and you prayed with us, I believe you mean business with God. And I just want to remind you that this is not the end. This is the beginning of a relationship with God. We don't just pray a prayer, check a box, and say, hey, I'm good. No, 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 no. It's the beginning of being part of God's family. It's a relationship, and we want to help you with that. So one of the things we'd like to ask you to do is on your connection card, if you raised your hand, or even if you didn't, but you say, hey, I pray to receive Christ, or I'm renewing my commitment to Christ, mark the box on the connection card and turn it in the offering in just a few moments when you turn that in. But on your way out, there's going to be a kiosk out there called Next Steps. I want you to stop by there. There's going to be several people there who want to give you a Bible, want to give you some resources to help you as you begin your relationship with God. And if you've got questions that you want to talk about, and people will be there to answer with you, pray with you if you want to do that. So on your way out, make sure that you stop at the Next Steps kiosk. but on behalf of the body of Christ at Grace Assembly of God and the body of Christ all around the world, welcome to the family of God. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'd like to give a second altar call today. Is that okay? Would you bow your heads one more time? I want you to listen closely. You may already be a follower of Jesus, but you recognize that the closer I get to God, the better I get along with other people. Can I tell you that the conflict in your life right now is in direct proportion to how close you're walking with God, how much time you're spending reading and studying the Bible, how much time you're praying, how much time you're worshiping the Lord? Because the reality is, the more time I spend with God, the more I'm going to become like God, the more forgiving, the more merciful, the more humble. The issue, remember, is not others. The issue is us. So I'd like every person in this room right now that has a conflict in your life, with your neighbors, at school, at work, or perhaps in your home, if that's you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I just want you to take both your hands and make a fist and set them on your lap. You got a conflict going on in your life with somebody. I want you to make a clenched fist with both your hands, and I just want you to set it in your lap, and you're just agreeing, yeah, there's conflict in my life. Clench it real tight. And if you're dealing with conflict, I want you to pray this with me. Dear God, come on, say it out loud. Dear God, I'm sorry for hating and hurting others. I agree. My heart is the problem. Give me a revival in my own heart. Draw me close to you, closer than I've ever been. Change my heart, God, and make me like you. Today, I choose to forgive. I want you to say whatever name the Holy Spirit's bringing to you. Today, I choose to forgive, and just say their name. Say this: I let go of the past. I release all my hurt, all my pain, all my conflict to you in Jesus' name. If by faith you're praying that prayer, I just want you to open your hands to the Lord and just let it go as Pastor Steve sings this song. Lord,
bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord. I lay me down.
Thank you, God.
Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Lead me.
Why is there so much rage and conflict and anger in the world right now? You got riots in Charlotte. You got people hating each other. You got such anger in our culture. Can I go ahead and tell you? A new president's not going to change that. A new governor, a new mayor, not going to change any of that. What's going on, Pastor? Can I tell you? If we go back to this illustration, we are farther away from the cross than we've ever been as a nation. And so the solution is for all of us to draw closer to the cross, to embrace this cross. How many agree that that's the answer for our country? So, would you join me a week from Wednesday for Decision America? Franklin Graham is calling our country to pray. He's going to be in Indianapolis a week from Wednesday, and we're going to gather together at the State House lawn at noon, okay? And it's for an hour, and we're just going to pray for our country. We're going to pray about the upcoming election because we know the cross is the solution. So I want to challenge you. Please do everything you can to be there. Take a half day of work. Take a couple hours for lunch. You know, get everybody you can to get there. It's important. I believe it's important. We read through all the Old Testament. When they needed God to intervene, they all came together to pray. And that's exactly what we've got to do as a nation. We got to come together to pray because the cross is the solution for our conflicts. Amen? So do your best to be there. On your way out, we're going to give you tickets and information about that. Stan's got a table to check out in the hub. If you'd like to learn more, I encourage you to be part of what God's doing. Our ushers are going to come, and we're going to receive God's tithes and our offerings. So thank you in advance for giving today. Thank you for those that have already given online. We appreciate so much your generosity. Isn't it great to have a series like this called At the Movies? And can I tell you, the only reason we're able to do stuff like this is because of biblical givers like you, people who give the first of their income to the Lord through the church. So thank you so much for your faithfulness and your giving. It's resulting in changed lives. Your giving is resulting in people finding Jesus. How many know that's good news? So this is a great investment you can make in other people. Now, if you're a guest here today, we understand we don't ask guests to bring food to the party, right? And so if you're a guest, God bless you. You're under no obligation to give if you don't want to. That is absolutely fine. The offering is also the place for you to put your Connect card. Fill out the information there. If you have a comment about the service, the question you want us to answer or address during Q&A, mark that. We've got some classes starting on Wednesday night. You might want to check if you're interested, but fill this out, turn it in the offering. Thank you so much for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. God bless you as you give here today. Here's some announcements about what's coming up. Watch this.
We hope you enjoyed the service here today. Next week, we'll continue our At the Movies series with Captain Phillips, where we will learn about spiritual warfare and how to effectively combat those attacks. If you are wanting to find out more information or have questions on your next steps in following Christ, stop by the Next Steps kiosk in the hub. Whether you're a new believer or just new to grace, you can begin the next step in your walk with Christ and find all the information you need there. Do you want to know more about our church and how to get involved? The answer is the Growth Track. Growth Track is the best way to connect to grace and get involved. These 90-minute classes are offered Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. The next Growth Track is Step 4, which is today at 11 a.m., and next Sunday will be Step 1 follow. If you are new to grace, we really encourage you to start at Step 1. More information can be found in your bulletin. Please be our guest at the Fall Festival on October 2nd at Kelsey Farms in Whiteland. Our entire church will have the whole farm to ourselves, where there is a corn maze, hay rides, food for purchase, and lots of fun and much more. This is a great way to meet some new people if you are new to grace, and it's absolutely free. Everyone is invited, and it starts at 6:30. Preparations for the Singing Christmas Tree Spectacular are underway, and we are holding vocal auditions for Christmas choir members today in the choir room. If you have never been a part of this production and outreach, now is the time to let us know you are interested. Bring a song that you would like to sing, either with a track or we can provide an accompaniment. If you have auditioned previously and would like to participate in the tree this year, join us for our first rehearsal on Wednesday, October 5th at 7 p.m. If you have any other questions, see Tracy Murray at the kiosk in the hub. Don't forget to take a picture with your favorite superhero movie character while you are here and use the hashtag @themovies when you post it. If you have any questions about anything you've heard, you can find out more information by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @TheGraceAG or by visiting graceassembly.org. We would love to see you next week when we continue with the At the Movies series and Captain Phillips. And don't forget, there's a hero in us all.
Stand with me if you would. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Go with God. Have a wonderful day. We love you. See you next week. You take me high.